Okay. So we're holding on just above Amud Beis, the bottom by the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah, actually, the first line and a half of the Mishnah, actually, we learned in connection with yesterday's Mishnah, because it pointed out a comparison, a contrast, rather, between Nedarim and Shavuos, where we said Nedarim, if you say Shavuos She'ini, if you say a neder that I won't, a koinam, rather, that I won't eat, that I won't sleep or talk or what have you, then it's Bal Yachal Dvara, and we discussed, does that mean that the Shavuos, how would the Shavuos be Chal D'Araisa? Only if you refer to my eyes not sleeping or my mouth not speaking or whatever. And then we have the explanation that Midrabanan would work even that way. But we also had the whole discussion about that there's a way in which you're not over on it yet, but it's potentially that you're over depending on your condition, whereas with the Shavua, there's none of that, and therefore the Mishnah just said straight out also. So let's focus on, let's start from the second half of the Mishnah, because that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Korban lo'ochaloch, if someone says to his friend, a korban, I won't eat from you, or ha korban sh'ochaloch, or this korban, I won't eat from you, or again, like we had the discussion the other day, that instead of ha, it could be hey korban, which could also therefore be interpreted as if it was hey korban, by the life of the korban. Yeah. Or loy korban lo'ochaloch, or not a korban, I won't eat from you. In all those cases, mutter, it's not considered a shavua. The reason is because, so basically the idea is, if he says korban lo ochaloch, it doesn't amount to saying that your food is considered a korban. It amounts to saying, I'm swearing by a korban that I won't eat from your food. Well, swearing by a korban, not swearing, making a neder by a korban is not a valid neder. Making a korban that this food is like, making a neder that this food is like a korban, that's machbis for korban. That's valid, as we learned in the first parak. But here it's the other way around. He's saying he's making a neder by a korban, or by the life of the korban, or by this korban, or whatever, that I won't eat from your food. That's not a neder.
Not a neder.
So that's it. There's nothing there.
Why's not a neder? The korban is a chesed.
But that's not the point. He's not saying the food is a korban. He's saying I'm making a neder by a korban that I'm not going to eat.
This korban?
By the a korban or this korban or whatever, that I'm not going to eat from you. He's not saying the food that the food that belongs to you is like a korban to me. He said, in other words, if it were the case of a shavua, if it were a shavua, a person says, I swear by a korban that I will or won't do such and such, would that be chal? No, a shavua involves that you have to use the Eivish's name or something similar. Similarly with a neder. You can't be swearing by a korban. You're swearing, I'm comparing this object to a korban as far as an iser. So the Gemara says, mani masnissin, who is our Mishnah like? Reb Meir, it seems to be according to Reb Meir, de'ir of Yehuda, le'shani le'korban, le'shani le'ha'korban, because we said in the first parak that Reb Yehuda does not make any distinction between korban and ha-korban. Now, our Mishnah mentioned korban and ha-korban. Ha-korban means this korban, whereas ha-korban, we learned towards the end of the first parak, that that if he says ha-korban sh'ochaloch, Reb Meir would hold its author. Because he's saying effectively we split what he's saying up. We're saying that your food is like a korban, therefore I won't eat it.
Half korban is.
Whereas half korban just means this korban. It means I'm swearing by this korban.
And why is this?
So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make that distinction. Rabbi Yehuda says the only way for it to be valid is if you use a chaf there, if you say kik korban. It has to be that you're comparing the food to a korban. But if you say korban or ha-korban or whatever, then it wouldn't.
It's for bunny.
What do you mean? I mean,
any korban.
It doesn't matter. I mean, we're not. That's not singular versus plural. Is he comparing the food to a korban? Is he saying ki-korban lo'ochaloch, which then Rabbi Yehuda says that's a valid neder, or is he saying korban lo'ochaloch, which our Mishnah is saying that that's fine. However, so far then, the first part of the Mishnah seems to be according to Reb Meir, But Ema Sefer, but look at the next part, look at the next part. It says, La Korban Lo Ochel Lach Mutter. What do you mean if he says, for a Korban that I won't eat from you, then we say it's Mutter? Again, the girsa that we have here in the Mishnah is Lo Korban Lo Ochel Lach, but the Gemara evidently is understanding it that he said Lo Korban, that he said it all as one word, where we said previously that you have two different ways of understanding it. You could divide it, you could say it means Lo Korban, it means not a Korban, Lo Ochel Lach, I won't eat from you, which therefore, okay, it's not a carbon, no problem. Or it could be le carbon. This is I'm considering this as a carbon, and therefore lo yachalach. The question is, what do you mean mutter? V'atnan, but we learned previously in the previous parak, le carbon lo yachalach or meyer oiser. V'amar Rav Abba, and Rav Abba said there, the reason is not the carbon, le carbon yehei, because it's the equivalent of him saying that this food should be for a carbon, leficach lo yachalach, and therefore I won't eat from you. So if our Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, and the first part of it does, it seems to, so the second part must also, then Rav Meir is contradicting himself. Some Rishonim have a slightly different gear, so that the Gemara is not bringing in Rav Yehuda at all over here. The Gemara is just saying that Rav Meir himself makes in the first part of the Mishnah when he says whether he says carbon or ha carbon, that he doesn't make that distinction. He says that either carbon lo yachalach or ha carbon lo yachalach are valid. It would be that Rav Meir doesn't make that distinction. Okay, either way, the point is, so what is it? The first part of the Mishnah seems to go according to Rav Meir, either because we say it can't be according to Rav Yehuda, or just because it fits with Rav Meir's position from before. But then you have then the last part of it, about loy korban, loy echalach, seems to contradict that. The answer is loy kasha, had, as we said previously in the first paragraph, the same answer, had ama la korban, had ama loy la korban, when he says le korban, So if he says le carbon with a shva, then it means it's for a carbon. If he says la carbon, then we say it can be understood either way. It can mean not a carbon. It can mean not a carbon. What I don't eat from you. And we said before a few times, Rav Meir does not hold of mikvah lavata shemeh hein. He doesn't say that once you mention the negative, we infer the positive from it. So fine, if you're saying what I won't eat from you is not a carbon, we don't infer from that as saying, but what I would eat from you is a carbon, because Rav Meir doesn't hold that way. So if he says la carbon, then fine. Hada ama loy la carbon, do loy have a carbon? So, if he says le carbon, rather, if he says le carbon, then you have a problem. Because then, according to the possibility, if he says la carbon, because either of those, le carbon definitely means for carbon. La carbon can also mean for carbon, for the carbon, actually. Either way, it would amount to saying, where, like Rav Abba said, you split up what he's saying, this food is considered to be for me for carbon, therefore I won't eat. What is our Mishnah talking about? When he says mutter, is where he explicitly says loy carbon, where he explicitly spells it out and says not carbon. Where then, if he says loy carbon loy halach, he's saying not a carbon, I won't eat from you. Again, the only way we could possibly think that is a neder is if we say mikla lavata shemehain. Rav Meir doesn't hold of that. Rav Meir doesn't hold that you infer one from the other. So fine, that's why it's mutter. Okay. So the whole Mishnah would be according to Rav Meir. On the other hand, continues our Mishnah, again, the next Mishnah, again, setting up a distinction between the Nedarim and Shavuot. Shavua lo yachalach, if someone says, a Shavua that I won't eat from yours, or ha Shavua sha'ochalach, or this Shavua that I will eat from you, or lo Shavua lo yachalach, or not a Shavua I won't eat from you, all of those are offered. How is that? Because if he says shvua lo yachalach, that means it amounts to him saying, I'm making a shvua that I won't eat your food. Ha shvua sha'ochalach also has to mean the same thing. Now, before we said the possibility, if he says by carbon, if he says hey carbon, it could mean hey carbon, by the life of the carbon, and there's no such thing. A shvua is not an object. It has no life. So there's no possibility the person is saying hey shvua. If he says hey or ha, whatever it is, shvua, obviously he means the shvua.
Shvua is imputed to him, although he's not using the verb I am swearing.
No, he says lo yachalach, that I will or won't eat by you. You're right. He didn't say ani nishba, that's such and such. He says shvur, that's such and such. That's good enough. Now, whether he needs to use Hashem's name, that's another matter. We discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, we had a machlokes between the Ran and Rabbeinu Tam there, whether a shvur has to involve Hashem's name or not. Hello? Anyway, that's a machlokes.
So here,
according to the opinion that it doesn't need, good, it doesn't need. According to the opinion that it does need, fine. The Mishnah is not going into that level of detail. The Mishnah is just trying to point out the distinction between the Darim and Shavuos. That with a neder, if you say Karban lo Ochalach, then the previous Mishnah said it's Mutter. But if you say Shavuos lo Ochalach, then it is valid. So Shavuos lo Ochalach is because you're saying a Shavuos that I won't eat from you. Ha Shavuos Sha'Ochalach. This shvua that I will eat from you, we're going to discuss in the Gemara why that should be a shvua, saying that he's not. And lo shvua, lo chalach is the same thing. Even if he says la shvua over here, now when he said la carbon or whatever, we said that can be explained either way. It can be understood as loy carbon, not a carbon, or it can be understood as la carbon for carbon. But whereas when it comes to shvua, the difference is that Reb Meir says like this. The Ran explains. We learned before, we've talked off and on over the last couple of days, that Reb Meir doesn't hold of Miklal Lavat HaShemeyahin. If you say one thing, you don't infer the other from it. When does Reb Meir hold that, though? Where do we learn, we talked back on Dafid Aleph, where Reb Meir learned that concept from? We said he learned it from the whole story of Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuben. That they almost had to spell out explicitly, if B'nai Gad B'nai Reuben cross the Yarden and help you fight, then they'll get this land. If they don't, then they won't. That's where Reb Meir gets this idea that you have to spell things out. Well, what is that talking about? That's a case of Dinei Momonos. That's a case involving inheriting Eretz Yisrael. Inheriting Eretz Yisrael, whatever. So therefore, Reb Meir would hold that you don't say Mikvah Lavat Shemei Hain in things involving Dinei Momonos. We said over there... The Ran explains. Reb Meir would hold of this concept only by. Actually, the Gemara says it. It's a Gemara in Shavuos that says that Reb Meir makes the distinction between Dinei Momonos and anything else. Dinei Momonos he will say Mikvah Lavat Hashemehein. Anything else he won't. Except the Gemara points out that Ran quoted it earlier that he makes an exception for Sota and for Avis. Now, Nedarim is sort of Dinei Momonos because, as we discussed before, the Ran says, and Nedarim go on a Chefta, the Chefta has value. Shavuos go on the person. That's not called Dinei Momonos. That's called Yisurim.
Also value.
Come on. I mean, the person does have a value, but we're not focusing on that. The person himself is asking themselves to do something. Right? And that's why we say a Shavuos can even go on something intangible. You can ask yourself to do something, to do or not do something intangible, etc. So therefore, even Reb Meir would agree when it comes to Shavuos that once you say one way, we infer the other one from it. So if he says loy shavua, loy oichalach, then what does it mean? He's saying not a shavua, I won't eat from you. Well, we infer the reverse from it. It means that the two negatives cancel each other out. Therefore, it means it's equivalent of saying a shavua that I will eat by you. And we'll discuss again in the Gemara why that should amount to saying that I won't eat by you. That we'll get to in the Gemara.
It's repetitious.
It's not really, but you wouldn't know. You wouldn't realize this otherwise. You wouldn't realize without that Reb Meir makes that distinction between Dinei Momonos and Dinei Yisurim, between a neder and a shvur. So, the Gemara says, Miklal, deha shvur sha'ochalach, deloy achil namashma. So what do you see from the Mishnah? That if he says, this shvur that I will eat from you, actually means that he won't eat from him, that he won't eat from his food. And because that's what the Mishnah is saying, that he says ha shvur sha'ochalach, then he's also. And the third case also, we said, is because Reb Meir would say that you flip around, you say lo shvur lo ochalach is the equivalent of saying shvur sha'ochalach, that makes him also to eat. But why? He said sha'ochalach. On the contrary, shouldn't you assume that it means he's making a shvur that I will eat?
And once ha shvur sha'ochalach means it's also?
Because ha shvur is the equivalent of regular shvur. Unlike with Nedarim, with Nedarim also, we said that carbon and ha carbon are the equivalent. But the difference is that the difference is again that if he says ha carbon, or actually if he says hey carbon, we could understand it as meaning hey carbon. And therefore you might say that it's not a valid neder. But a shvur, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as hey shvur. Therefore, necessarily, it has to mean the same as plain old shvur. The ha is just extra. Yeah. So. Why? So you're saying that shvur sha'oichalach means actually that you're saying that I won't eat. Uraminu, I have a contradiction to that. The Mishnah says in shvur shayim shein arba, that the shvur, there's two types of shvur which really are four, meaning there's two. The Torah says like this. The Torah says that a person can make a shvur lahora or lahetiv, to do bad or to do good. So that means that to do bad is, for example, a person saying a shvur that I won't eat. To do good is a shvur that I will eat, let's say. And then each of those, the Mishnah and the Gemara explains it, that each one has two possibilities. And we learn also from Sukkim that each one can be about the past or about the future. A person can make, so you have four different types. A person can say a shvur that I ate this cookie, a shvur that I didn't eat this cookie, a shvur that I will eat this cookie, or a shvur that I won't eat this cookie. You have two basic types which break down into four.
You can have more than that. You can say a shvur that I ate and I will eat.
Those would be two separate shvurs, though. What do you mean that I ate and that I will eat? If he ate, if each one we're talking about what he's chayav for breaking a shvur, or either for breaking a shvur or for having made a false shvur. If he swears that I ate it and he didn't eat it, then he's chayav malchus. If he swore that he didn't eat it and he ate it, also, and the same thing for the future. If he were to say, I swear I didn't eat it and I swear I won't eat it, those are two different shvurs. If he ate it before, he'll be chayav malchus for that. And if he eats it in the future, he'll be chayav malchus for that.
If he didn't eat it, and he's making sure that he will not eat it in the future, in one statement.
Doesn't matter, though. We still break it down into two.
Break it down into two.
Okay. So you have basically two which are four. Sha'oichal v'shalo yoichal, that I will eat or that I won't eat. Sha'ochalti v'shalo yochalti, and that I ate and that I didn't eat. So since we see that among the possibilities are where we're saying that I will or won't eat, or that I did or didn't eat, so on the contrary, if he says, like he said in our Mishnah, why are we saying that it means he's also to eat, that it means that effectively he's saying that I won't eat by you? On the contrary, it should mean a shvur that I will eat by you, because we see that such a shvur can be effective. The reason why the Gemara is pointing out that is because it's different than nedarim. Nedarim is a person is able to make a neder to ask for something on himself. The person can say, I'm making a neder, this cookie is also to me like a korban, or he doesn't say like a korban, whatever. A person can't make a neder, this cookie will be eaten by me. There's no such thing. Because a neder goes on the chesed and not on the gabra. The cookie doesn't have the ability to make itself be eaten by the person.
So you can't. A neder would be.
So a neder would be that the cookie is also to me, not that it's mutter. So, Amar Abaya. Sha'oichal shtei lashonis mashma. You know what? The word sha'oichal can actually depend. It can actually have different meanings depending on the circumstances. Namely, as follows: Hoy b'savin v'lechol. Suppose that you have a people who are nudging him to come eat by them. But Omar, and he says achilna achilna, and he says fine, I'll eat. The two, and they keep on nudging him. So finally, he says shvur sha'oichal. I swear sha'oichal. Well, then fine, da'achilna mashma. Then fine, it means that he's saying, you know what? What do you keep on nudging me? You don't take me at my word that I'll eat. Fine, I swear that I'll eat by you. And then it says so stop nudging me. And then that means then sha'oichal means that I will eat. No, wait. Avol omer lo yachilna lo yachilna. But if they keep on nudging him and he says I won't eat. The two Amar Shvur Sha'oichal, and then he says a Shvur that I will eat. On the contrary, Deloyachil Makama, then we understand what he's saying to be, you're not taking no for an answer, a Shvur that I will eat. Effectively, in other words, he's saying that, no, on the contrary, fine, I'm going to make it final. Not only, yeah, I've been saying all this time, I'm not going to eat by you, keep on nudging me. Fine, I'm swearing Sha'oichal, but really he means that I won't eat by you. The Rosh explains it a little bit differently. Then we understand him to mean, not that he suddenly changed his mind and said, you know what, I will eat. Because for that he wouldn't have to do a Shavuot. For that he could have just said, you know what, fine, I changed my mind, I'll eat by you. The fact that he says Shavuot Sha'oichal, we understand that to mean that he's actually saying that I won't eat by you. That I'm actually making a shavur. So therefore, that's the case our Mishnah is talking about when it says ha shavur sha'oichalos is talking. It's been after they've been pestering him for a while and kept on telling them no, 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 and they haven't been listening. And now he finally says shavur sha'oichal. The Rosh brings it. The Rosh brings a different gisa and an explanation that the first time was the two cases are that all the cases are talking about bitmiya, like they're nudging him to eat, and each time he says and each time he says achilna, what do you think I'm going to eat by you? And then finally he says shuor sha'ochalach. Well, then at that point same idea. Then the fact that all this time he's been saying achilna, you expect me to eat by you. Right, so there's a different girsa, but it amounts to the same thing. Or vice versa, is when they keep on pestering him, lo yachilna, lo yachilna, what do you keep on nudging me? Did I ever tell you I'm not going to eat by you? And they keep on pestering him, and finally he says, fine, shavua sha'ochal. Then we understand it means that, fine, you know what, I'm making it very clear now, I am going to eat by you. That's a bias answer. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, no, here's a different way of looking at it. It's like this. When he says sh'oichal, it's the shvur, when a person says a shvur that I will eat, is actually she'i oichal ka'omar. It actually, what it means to say is that he's swearing that he's swearing that he won't eat. We don't even need the circumstances, the yes or the no, all the nudging and whatever. The very fact a person is making a shavua sha'oichal itself is really, really, really means that he's saying shaloi oichal. You have to add in the extra aleph to make she'i oichal, that I won't eat. Rich, the question, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Im kein pshiter, well, if that's the case, obviously, if shavur sha'oichal amounts to saying she'i oichal, then what's the chiddush? The maila memra, what does the Mishnah need to tell us? The answer is, ma'aratema meikam lishnehi de'itkile, because you might say, you might have thought otherwise, that what's happening is over here, that he's, when he says, if we're understanding him to say, It's not that we're understanding him to say. He actually said, when our Mishnah said shvur sha'oichal, what it is actually he said the words shvur she'i. He actually said shvur she'i'ochal. Now then the question is, so what's the chiddush? And the answer is, you might have thought that he didn't really mean to say she'i'ochal. He was sort of stuttering. He was trying to get out she'i'ochal. And like you hear in there like a chirik sound. So it sounds like he's saying she'i oichal. So you might have thought the mekam lishna, who he did delay, like he's trying to say clearly what he's saying, and his tongue tripped him up. Or the Ran's gear says slightly different, mi'akim lishna he, like he's twisting his tongue a little bit. He means to say she oichal, but by saying it out like that, she oichal, it sounds like she'i oichal. Kamash Malan, according to Ravashi, that's the chiddush. Since he actually said it out, she'i oichal, then we have to take him at his word. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that actually then, so what does that mean? It sounds like according to Ravashi then, so what, he meant to say a shavua that I will eat, but accidentally he said she'i oichal and you're holding him to his word? How is that? You can't hold him, the Rosh uses the expression that once he said she'i oichal, we don't believe him to say afterwards that he meant she'oichal. What do you mean we don't believe him afterwards? A shrua or a neder has to be that you're thinking what you're going to say. It can't be that you meant one thing and you said something else. That's not a valid shrua. So what do we mean we don't believe him? And in fact, in Shavuot, where there's a discussion on this point, also the Rosh says over there that if he says that he meant she'oichal, then fine. There's a number of different answers that they give. One of them is the fact that the Rosh uses the expression over here b'mai dekama basa hachi, which means later on. So right now he said she'i oichal. We're taking him at his word. If later on he wants to claim, when he ends up eating and they bring him to Beis Din for Malchus, and he says, you know what, I really meant she'oichal, we're not going to believe him at that point. But yes, if right then and there, when he says she'oichal, and it sounded like she'oichal, and he immediately corrects himself and says, no, that's not what I meant. I meant to say she'oichal, that I will eat. Well, then yes. Then that's fine, because he didn't mean to say she'oichal. That's one answer. That's one answer they give to find for this. There's another interesting one that goes along the lines of, in the presence of Beis Din or in the presence of other people, he has to be machmir on it. But since he himself knows that he meant to say she'oichal, then in private, he would be allowed to. They talk about a similar concept that you have you can have a case where you can have a case where there's where Rav Paskins that a certain kind of food is also or whatever because of a suffix or whatever, you happen to know the circumstances over there, you happen to know that there's no reason for there to be any problem with it. There are cases when we say that you're not allowed to eat it before Hesti, you're not allowed to eat it in front of other people, like we said yesterday, etc. But you can eat it on your own because you yourself know that it's mutter. This would be a similar thing. So he could eat because he knows that he meant to say she'ichal, but because in the hearing of everybody else it sounded like he said she'ichal, then he'd better not do it in front of other people because then he'll be chayav malchus. Basically, it's not going to take him, and then he's not going to say, he's not going to accept the argument, well, I meant she'ichal. They'll have to take at face value what he said. Okay. So we have two explanations of the Mishnah. One is that she'ichal depends on the circumstances, and the other is that he actually said she'ichal. So Abaya like Omar Tam Kiravashi, so Abaya doesn't agree with Ravashi's understanding. Because the fact is the Mishnah does not use the word she'ichal. The Mishnah said she'ichal. You're trying to change the wording of the Mishnah to say that instead of she'ichal he meant she'ichal. That's not what the Mishnah says. So therefore Abaya doesn't accept Ravashi's reason. Ravashi nodi min tam da Abaya, whereas Ravashi goes away. It's kind of an unusual expression. I guess this is one of those examples of Lashon Nedarim Mishonah, that Nedarim has unusual expressions. Ravashi, like so to speak, wanders away from Abaya's reason. Drifts away, yeah, from Abaya's reason. Why? Because if that's the case, you could say that Shaloi Oichal also could imply two different possibilities. You're telling me Shaloichal can depend whether beforehand he was saying yes or whether beforehand he was saying no. So you could say the same thing about Shaloi Oichal. Namely, Hoyum is sovereign Relechal, if they're bugging him to eat by them. And he says, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. Hello. And then at that point he says a shvur. Whether he says I will eat or whether he says I won't eat. Then it amounts to saying that this I'm going to eat. Are you expecting me to eat? In other words, so either way, if he says shvur she'ochal, it would be v'loshen tmiya. And as a rhetorical question, and if he says shaloya, it would mean outright, I'm not going to eat. Ravashi is arguing that if you're going to go the way Abaya is saying, then the Mishnah didn't have to tell us loy ochal versus ochal. Either way, it would depend on circumstances. There's no reason. Abaya seems to be saying that ochal depends, but loy ochal always means I'm not going to eat. Why? The same way as ochal is context dependent, so is loy ochal. The ikal of terutzinami.
Ben
she'echal. Ben she'echal. Hodein achil namashma. Then it amounts to saying that this I'm not going to eat. Because either way, if he said that all this time I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. Loyachilna. Or again, according to the Rosh's Gersa that he mentioned before, it could be the loyachilna itself is a rhetorical question. What are you bothering me for? Did I ever say I'm not going to eat? And finally, he says shvur she'ochal, meaning fine, I'm swearing that I'll eat, or shvur she'ochal. I'm making a shvur. Do you think I'm not going to eat? Either way, it would amount to the same thing. The ikka l'terutzi nami lishna, and you could also explain the lashon a different way. Shvur she'ochal, shvur she'ochal nefama, and vice versa. You could say that shvur she'ochal means exactly what it sounds like—a shvur that I won't eat. So you can't say that. Elatana paska. So no, according to Ravashi. Ravashi argues then that the Tana has to be telling us a blanket statement. She'ochal to achil mamashma. The word she'ochal has to mean that I will eat. Shaloi ochal loy ochal mashma. And if he says shaloi ochal must mean that I won't eat, there's no room for context-dependent things like that. How then would a shavua, like we said in the Mishnah, shavua she'ochal loch, work? It would have to be because we're understanding the ochal loch to really be that he's not that he said she'ochal, but rather that he said she'i ochal. So each of the explanations of both Abaya's and Ravashi's explanations, each one the other one has an objection. Now, who is the halacha like? Rambam Paskins like Abaya's reason. So he says then that if context dependent, it all depends whether they were nudging him beforehand. The Ramban Paskins, the Ramban Paskins, according to Rav Ashi. Which is that not. That Sha'uchal means I really, Sha'uchal means I won't eat, and there's no gray areas. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if he said before he won't eat, and then he says he won't eat.
And then Rav Ashi would say it doesn't matter. Yeah, we go according to the last thing he said. Mishnah says, "Zechayim b'shavuot min b'nidorim." This, something that we just mentioned before, the Gemara is going to talk about what it is exactly, is a chumra in shavuot over nidorim. Zechayim b'nidorim b'shavuot, and vice versa, there is a certain chumra in nidorim over shavuot. There is a certain thing in which nidorim are chal and shavuot are not. Ketzad. Omar koinam sukkah shaniyah. You say if a person says a koinam, I'm making a neder that I will not make that a sukkah will not be made by me. You're not really made. Actually, the Mefarshim discussed it doesn't really mean making the sukkah in and of itself is not a mitzvah. It means sitting in the sukkah.
Sukkah
shaniyah. Sukkah
shaniyah. That I am making.
But he's referring to the actual object, the sukkah.
So.
Okay. Or a lulav shani noitel, or a lulav that a lulav shall be also for me to take. Tefillin shani maniach, or tefillin will be also for me to put on. Benedarim also b'shvuos mutter. So here's the thing we've been talking about the last couple of days: noitel versus nishva levatal as a mitzvah. With a neder, it will take effect. With shvuos, it won't take effect. So there you have a chumra of nedarim over shvuos. Why is that? She'en nishvoin, lavra ala mitzvah. Because you can't make a shavua to violate a mitzvah. Because we talked before, you mushva v'omim b'har Sinai. You have a shavua already on you from har Sinai to keep the mitzvah. You can't override that with your own shavua. Whereas a neder, so what's the difference with a neder versus the shavua? There's a couple of different explanations that Mefarshim give. The Ran says the reason that we've talked about a few times already, that a neder that on the chet shavua is on the gavra. So therefore, the gavra is mushpah v'omim b'har Sinai. The ches says not. The sukkah, the tefillin, or whatever, those don't have any obligation on them to be used for the mitzvah. Therefore, so the person is able to make a neder that offers those things to him. Then the side effect is he won't be able to do the mitzvah. Okay, the side effect is he won't be able to do the mitzvah. That's what it is. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it says that based in will force him to try and find a Pesach and then get the neder canceled, so that he'll be able to sit in the sukkah or put on tefillin or whatever. But as long as that's not done, then yes, he is also to sit in the sukkah or put on tefillin or what have you. And if he does, he will be Chayiv Malkus.
His word is stronger than
Eibishter. It's not really his word is stronger than Eibishter. According to the Ram's way of looking at it, the idea is that you're saying this particular chetzah is also to me. Look, I mean, just think of a more straightforward example. Look, if there are no tefillin around, is a person being over by not putting on tefillin? In that case, we actually would say onus rachmana patra. So it's okay, it's not really an onus over here because he's the one who put himself in this situation, but still, he's made it, he's created an iser that all the tefillin in the world are offered to him. So therefore, b'las b'era, then that's it. All of them are also to him. Physically, as far as we're concerned, they don't exist. That's one way of looking at it, then, that it's a gabra versus chesed thing. The Avnei Nezer brings, the Avnei Nezer explains that according to the chinuch, it comes out that there's a different reason. The logic of it is like this. Yes, let's say you have a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah or put on tefillin or what have you. There's no one particular sukkah or one particular pair of tefillin that the mitzvah applies to. You could use any sukkah or you could use any pair of tefillin or what have you. When you make your neder, yes, it's chal at the same time on all the sukkahs in the world or all the tefillin in the world or whatever, but that's only because there's no reason to prefer one over the other. But if, suppose, for example, that the neder was able to be chal only on some of them, then fine, you say it's chal on some of them, and you still are able to fulfill the mitzvah with the remaining ones. So here it so happens that it's chal on all of them at the same time. Okay, but it's still the same principle. It's still the same principle. It's not a gavra versus chesed thing. It's just it's chal on all of them equally because you didn't specify. But in theory, if there were one out there that was not that was not affected by the neder, you'd be able to use that one because there's no particular reason you need to use one sukkah or one pair of tefillin or whatever over the other.
But in the first case, the fact that it has precedence on three of the Torah.
But either way, either way, yeah, it has precedence over three of the Torah because you're making the object also to you. Actually, see, the abnegazer goes on to
how can you make it unto
because that's the thing. You're able to make it also to you. And then, because according to the Ran's reason, because there was no chiyuv on the object itself. So yes, you're able to make the object also to you just as much as you're saying, this object doesn't exist in the world for me. Huh. The abnegazer points out there'd be an interesting machamina between these two reasons. What if you have something where there is? You have to do the mitzvah only with this one object and nothing other. He gives the example of kisi adam. You have a mitzvah when you shech a bird or a wild animal, like a deer or whatever, that you have to cover the blood. What if the person makes a neder that the blood will be also for me to cover? So according to the Ran's logic, that it's a matter of chesed versus gavra, good, the blood doesn't have a mitzvah on it. You have a mitzvah to cover the blood. Fine, the blood is not available to you now because of that. Whereas if you say that it's a matter of, that there are potentially other ones in the world that you could have used, well, there's only this one blood. So maybe therefore it wouldn't apply. Even as far as shavuos, by the way, it's actually not so simple. When would a shavuos not be chal? When it's levatal as a mitzvah? If, for example, the person says, let's say, I'm making a shavuos not to sit in the sukkah on Sukkot. But what if he would say that I'm making a shavuos not to sit in Sukkot at all? It can be chal for the rest of the year because the rest of the year there's no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. Once it's chal on that, it also ends up including Sukkot. So you do have a case where Shavua can override a mitzvah also. If you're including Dvarim HaMutarim with it also. If he's not going to sit in any sukkah throughout the whole year, then it's chal on the rest of the year. He now can't sit in a sukkah during Cheshvan or Kislev or Tevis, etc. Therefore, it also ends up including Tishrei.
But if he says
only during Sukkot, then he has a mitzvah to sit in the Sukkot during Sukkot, so he can override that with the Shavuot. Again, in either of those cases, we based in would force him to try and be matter the neder, or matter the Shavuot in order that he should be able to. But if they're not able to, or until that gets done, if he does the mitzvah, he will be chayav malchus. And actually, even in the case the Ran discusses over here, that even in the case where he's nishva levatal as a mitzvah, and we say, let's say for example, so he makes the shavua not to sit in the sukkah during the sukkahs, we say that the shavua is not chal because mushbavayim ha'sinai, he still will get malchus because he made a shavua shav. The same way as a shavua saying this table is made out of gold is a shavua shav, and he'd get malchus for that right away. The same way a shavua to not do a mitzvah is also a shavua shav, and he'd get malchus for that.
But it's the same kind of thing as
we said yesterday, that if a person makes a shavua that I won't sleep for 3 days, we consider that a shavua shav right off the bat, because it's impossible. Same thing, a shavua that I won't sit in the sukkah during the sukkah is an impossible shavua. And it can't override the shavua from Har Sinai.
But not when he says...
If he says the whole year, well then if he says the whole year, then that's different, yeah.
He's got a
twin. What did the Mishnah start saying? The Mishnah had started off by saying Zech Chomer b'Shavuos over Nedarim. That this is the Chumrah of Shavuos over Nedarim. The Gemara is assuming that the Chumrah we're talking about is what we talked about in these last couple of Mishnayos. That, for example, if you say Korban lo'echalach, then you're mutter. It's not considered a neder. But if you say Shavua lo'echalach, then it is a valid Shavua. So what does that mean? You claw the neder? Who? So what are you implying that it's actually considered a neder? Well, hamutter katani. The Braisa had said, not the Braisa, the Mishnah had said mutter, that's outright mutter. It's not even considered a neder over here. When our Mishnah said, zech chomer b'shavuos b'nedarim, sounds like this. It sounds like it's saying there is something which is considered a neder, but there's something, there's a case of shavuos which is more stringent than that. But the last couple of cases we were talking about, korban lo'echalach, ha-korban cho'echalach, whatever, from the Mishnah at the bottom of Tetzavav and Beis, those we said were mutter. Those weren't considered a neder at all. So what do you mean there's a chumrah of shavuos over nedarim? This is a chumrah of shavuos over nothing. The word nedarim implies that it's a valid neder, and just that shavuos has a bigger chumrah over it. The answer is asefa de'idach baba katani. The beginning of our Mishnah is actually referring back to before that, to the first part of the Mishnah on Tetzavav Amud Beis, when it said Shavua she'eni yoshen she'eni medaber she'eni mahalach aser, it said that if you say Shavua that I won't speak or that I won't walk or that I won't sleep or speak or walk aser, zechayim b'shavuos minedarim, and we say this is the chumrah and Shavuos over nedarim. Namely, we said in a previous Mishnah We said in the Mishnah on Yudalad Amud Beis that if you say Konum Shani Yoshin Shani Medaber, etc., then we say Hareza Belo Yachal Dvari, that there is an issue of Lo Yachal Dvari involved. Namely, we talked about in the Gemara over there, first of all, so we had the whole discussion about when it might take effect, but we had Ravina's explanation of the Mishnah that Midaraisa, you're right, it's not a valid neder, because you're talking about something intangible, like sleep or whatever. Midrabanan, it's a valid neder. So now what our Mishnah is saying is, there you have, it's a valid neder Midrabanan. Whereas the next Mishnah, when it continues, Shavuah, She'eni Yoshin, She'eni Medaber, when it says Osir, that's a stringency in Shavuah, where there it's an actual Shavuah Daraisa, not just Midrabanan. So there you have a case where something is a neder, but only Midrabanan. So not like the last couple of Mishnah, not like the last Mishnah that we talked about, Korban, She'eichalach, which is not a neder at all, there it is a neder Midrabanan, according to Ravina's explanation. And now we're saying that the parallel kind of Shavuah would actually be also Daraisa. We said in our Mishnah that you have a chumrah in the Dorim over Shavuos. How is that? Because you're able to make a neder and thereby be mevatel a mitzvah, whereas you can't directly make a Shavuah and be mevatel a mitzvah. So where do we get this from? Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana learned as follows, that it was Omer of Gidol Omer Rav, Rav Tavyumi learned it differently. Amar of Gidol, Amar Shmuel. So both of them agreed that Rav Gidol said the following statement. They're just arguing whether he learned it from Rav or Shmuel. Either way, the statement is, Minayin she'en nishvoyin lav ralam. It says, how do we know that you cannot make a Shavuah that will cause you to violate a mitzvah? Tamad loyma lo yachol dvare. Because the Pasuk says that he should not transgress his word, which implies dvaroi lo yachal, so he can't transgress his own word for his own purposes. Abel mechol ul chepte shabayim, but he can transgress it when it involves the needs of Eibishter. If his shvua is going to cause that, is going to prevent him from doing the mitzvah, then yes, he can override that. He can break his shvua in order to do the mitzvah. Question is, maishna neder? Chepte shabayim means for the Eibishter's purposes, in order to do the mitzvah. What it is, the whole pasuk goes like this: Ish ki yider neder l'Hashem or yishava shvua less v'yisrael nafshoi lo yachol dvarei. So right now, the Gemara is starting with the assumption that the lo yachol dvarei is referring to the last thing that was mentioned, yishava shvua. So we're saying when you make shvua, lo yachol dvarei, you're not allowed to violate your word, unless when it's only your word, when you're violating it for your own purposes, but not for chetzei shemayim. When you're violating it because the mitzvah has to be done, that's different.
Very counterintuitive. You would say chetzei shemayim, you shouldn't be
up. Your word. No. Lo yachol dvarei. It says you should not violate your word, which implies if you're not violating it because it's your word, if you're violating it because the Eibishter said so. Rashi puts it over here a little bit differently. That if you make a shvua that goes against the mitzvah, what happens is that shvua is not chal at all, which is what we just said. That the shvua is not chal. That you're able to be mechalit. You're able to violate what you said because it's not really a shvua.
Because it's not really a shvua.
Okay, so the question is, Maishna Neder, Dechtiv Ishki Yid. Chepte Shemayim is just another way of saying it. It's just another way of saying a mitzvah. Yeah. But the problem with that is, Maishna Neder, so why is it different by a Neder, Dechtiv Ishki Yidr Neder Lashem, Lo Yachol Dvarei? Shvur Nami Hoksiva Yishava Shvur Lashem, Lo Yachol Dvarei. The same Pasuk mentions both Nedarim and Shvurs. So, And you're saying that when it comes to a neder, you're understanding the word Lashem, Ishki Yidr Neder Lashem, you're understanding it to mean even if that neder causes you to violate a mitzvah of Hashem, nevertheless Lo Yachol Dvarei, well, Shavuah should be the same thing. The whole pasuk is Ishki Yidr Neder Lashem, or Yishav HaShavuah, less Yisrael Hashem, Lo Yachol Dvarei. So it seems it applies equally to both. Amar Abaya, yes, but there's a difference, Abaya says. Hod Amar Hanas Sukkah Alai. The difference is like this. If the logic is, there's a logical reason to say that a neder can override a mitzvah and a shvuah cannot. Why? Because a neder involves him saying the hana of a sukkah is also to me. In other words, again, according to the Ram's explanation, it's a matter of a chet. He declared the hana to be also to him. Again, as we said yesterday, in machil adam davar also, you can't force a person to enjoy something which is also to him. Therefore, automatically, he's not able to sit in the sukkah. Hadama shvur shalayahana min sukkah. Whereas with the shvur, he's saying that I won't have hana from the sukkah, that I won't sit in the sukkah. Well, you have an obligation to sit in the sukkah. You can't take that obligation away from yourself by making a shvur. So therefore, if we have, yes, it says in the same pasuk, in that different shvur, and by both of them it says Lashem. At the end of the pasuk it says Lo Yachol Dvarei. But if we have to assume that Lo Yachol Dvarei applies to one versus the other of them, it's more logical to assume that it applies to Shavuos and not to Nedarim. Omar Rava. So Rava says, okay, I'm not disagreeing with your basic concept. What are you mentioning? Noah Sukkah. Mitzvahs Lehanes Nitnu. Are mitzvahs given for hana? We learned the concept yesterday that there's machlokas in a few places in Gemara. The halacha is mitzvahs lav lahanes, that the hana you get from a mitzvah is not considered a hana. This is what we learned. Thus, we learned in Rosh Hashanah, for example. He's not asking on Abaye's explanation. Fine, I accept your explanation. But what are you talking about? The word hana sukkah. What do you mean hana sukkah? What hana is there? You have the sitting in the sukkah is not considered a hana. The fact that you've accomplished the mitzvah is not considered a hana. Now, a number of mefarshim asked on that, including the Noda B'Yehuda and a bunch of others asked on that. What are you talking about? We said yesterday, for example, in the case of toveling in a mikveh, that you have both. There's the mitzvah of toveling in the mikveh and becoming tahor. Fine, that's not considered a hana. But you also have the physical hana during the summertime that you're saying to cool off. Here you're getting to sit under the shade of the sukkah. Why don't we consider that? Why isn't Rava taking that into? Fine, we're not talking about in New York where it rains half the sukkahs. We're talking about in Israel where it's nice weather. Yeah, Israel places similar to that. Whatever. Yeah. So what do you mean? There's no hana. You have that hana anyway. There's a variety of different explanations, a lot of them. One of them being that the fact is, during sukkahs, you do have a house. You have a mitzvah to be sitting in the sukkah during the whole 7 days. But you're not. It's not like without that you would be homeless. You have a house to go sit in. Therefore, the fact that you enjoying the shade of the sukkah is not really considered hana. There's another. Because you could have the same hana someplace else. We're gonna have a similar concept in the Masechta later, where if there's something where you could have had the same hana someplace else, then having it here is not considered such hana. That's one answer. Another answer focuses on the idea. Let's say, for example, with tovling, you tovel, but then you finish tovling, you walk it out of the water? Of course not. You're still in the water for some amount of time after you've done the mitzvah. You're still having that hana. With sukkah, as long as you're in the sukkah, every moment that you have in the hana of the shade, you're also at the same time doing the mitzvah. So therefore, you can't really decouple them. A similar concept we talked about yesterday as far as when the husband says to his wife, hana tashmishi halai, the idea is that, we talked yesterday, I mean, on the face of it, the hana can't be decoupled from the act, but actually, in a way, it can. We're going to learn later on, we're going to have a very interesting Gemara on Shabbos about the halachas of tashmish hamita. It's going to mention, or we're going to talk about over there, it says about Rabbi Eliezer, that when he had relations with his wife, it would be kamisha kfar shade, like a shed was forcing him into it. He wasn't having any gashmiyistik hana from it. He was purely doing it for the mitzvah and nothing else. That's just it, but the point is, it is potentially possible to decouple the hana from the act. Therefore, when a person says hana tashmishi halai, since theoretically it would be possible for him to do the act of tashmish without the hana, then the neder is able to be, there's room for the neder to be chal. I, the average person, can't decouple them. Okay, that's just how it is. But same thing over here with sukkah then, is if the hana can't be decoupled from the doing of the mitzvah, because as long as you're sitting in the sukkah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, and at the same time you're having hana from the shade, that's what Rava is arguing over here. That if mitzvah's lav lahanas nitnu, the fact that at the same time you have an inseparable thing from doing the mitzvah is the hana of the shade, then what are you talking about, the lashon hana? How is that an appropriate lashon to use? Elam or Rava. No, don't use the word Hana, but rather like this. Hada Am Yeshiva Sukkah Alai. In the case of the Neder, he's saying that I'm forbidding myself to the sitting in a sukkah is forbidden to me. The other one is where he's saying a shvur that I won't sit, and I won't sit in the sukkah. So again, it's a similar difference. So a chesed versus gabra thing, or according to the Avnei Nezer explanation, it's you have many other sukkahs in the world which the neder in theory could not have been chal on, except in practice it does, versus a shvur where you're asking yourself on all the sukkahs in the world. The Ran discusses the question, though, I mean, didn't we say before that a neder is not chal on something intangible? We said before that if you say a neder, at least not midaraisa, you were talking on a daraisa level, because if it was only valid derabanan, then it couldn't override the mitzvah daraisa. We said before that if a person says a neder, a koinam, that sleep is also to me, then it's no good. It's not a valid shavur daraisa, because sleep is not a tangible thing. So how does it help if he says the hana of the sukkah,
it's
or the...
tangible when you don't have it.
Come on, though. The actual
very
sleep
tangible.
Is... So we said over there, we would have to say, in order for it to be valid daraisa, you would have to say, my eyes are also to sleep. So how are we saying over here that he says, if the sitting in the sukkah is also to be, sitting in the sukkah is not a tangible thing. So the Ran makes a distinction like this. When we said over there that it doesn't apply to an intangible thing, daraisa, that's if you don't mention the actual object at all. When you mention sleep, what do you sleep with? Your eyes closed. But you didn't mention eyes in there. Over here, he's mentioning an actual tangible object. He's mentioning the sukkah. He's focusing on what you do with the sukkah. He's focusing on the verb that you do with the sukkah, sitting in it, or going to Abaya, having Hana from it. But he did mention a tangible thing. Therefore, that is enough for it to be able to be chal. And also, by the way, the Ran points out one thing, that once you're also to sit in the sukkah, then... Once you made yourself also to sit in the sukkah by saying the sukkah sitting is also to me, then even though you could argue mitzvah slav lahonis, you're not enjoying the shade of the sukkah, you're not considered the fact that you have the hana is not considered a hana because mitzvah slav lahonis. Nevertheless, you still also. He gives an example. Suppose that someone said a koinam that it will be also for me to throw rocks into the water. Throwing rocks is not a matter of hana, but you're still also. So the same thing over here. Once he says that a certain action is also to him, doesn't matter whether there's any hana involved or not. That's why Rabba's reason is better than Abaya's. Abaya mentioned hana, and then you have the problem with mitzvah lahonis nitnu. Rabba is saying it doesn't matter hana, not hana. You're asking yourself a certain action, so then that action becomes also to you. Okay. Now the question is though, she'en nishvorim alava ala mitzvah mahocha.
Why did Abaya introduce the concept?
He mentioned the concept of Hana, so Rabba just pointed out you can't really be talking about Hana because mitzvah slav lahonis. Okay, the question is, you're telling me that we learn the concept that you can't make a shavua to override a mitzvah, you're telling me we learn it from these words, lo yachal dvarei. We have a different pasuk that teaches us that. Titania, yachol nishvul avatul asamitzvah v'lebitul. You would think if somebody makes a shavua to be mevatul mitzvah, so a shavua, for example, that I won't sit in the sukkah, and he was not mevatul, yachol yehei chayev, you would think he's chayev a korban for having violated a shavua. Talmud loymar, lahora elahetiv. No, therefore the pasuk says that a shavua consists of a shavua to do bad or to do good. So just like doing good is something optional, a shvua that I will eat this bread or that I will do this pleasurable thing is something optional. It's something that the person is able to do. Ahara rishu. So and it's not something that's a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to eat the bread or what have you. So also hara has to be something that involves rishu. Yotza nishvul avatul sa mitzvah v'lebitul, as opposed to somebody who makes a shvua to be mevatul a mitzvah and is not mevatul a chain or rishus biyodeh. He has no permission to be mevatul that mitzvah, therefore the shvua is not chal. So we already have that pasuk teaching us that. What do we need the lo yachal d'mari? The answer is we need both. Chad kral a miftir and a korban shvua. One pasuk of those two teaches us that you would potter from a korban for the shvua. V'chad la miftir de min lav the shvua. The other one tells you that you'll be potter from the lav. Namely, you have a lav lo yachal d'var, right? The fact that you did that mitzvah, you're going to be potter from that lav. However, the Ran points out, you will be chayev for the fact that you did a shvur shav, like we said before, the fact that you did a false shvur because your shvur is an impossible shvur. But then, when you make the shvur not to sit in the sukkah, So we're saying based on two psukim, we learn that you're not over on the lav of when you sit in the sukkah. You're not violated. You're not over on the lav that you violated your words. You're not over. You're not therefore chayv to bring a korban, but you were over to begin with on the lav of lesus Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav that you swore unnecessarily, that you swore a useless shvur.
You're not over on the saint that you.
That you broke your shvur, because the shvur was not chal.
Yeah,
you're over on shvur shav, but you're not over on the yakov v'arei, and you know to bring the korban. You know to bring the korban over the yod, because we learned from the two psukim.
Why you not over on?
You're not over on the yakov v'arei because the shvur was never chal.
Because
you were because that's what we have these two psukim that teach us that such a shvur is chal in the first place.